Right now, we go to the phone lines as we're pleased to welcome District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson. Senator Jacobson joining us on the phone lines as the legislature will be in session here within the hour. Mike, appreciate the time this morning.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Good morning, sir.
How we doing?
So far, so good.
But it is early.
All right.
But it is early, and you haven't reported yet. So.
Now, Senator Jacobson, when we chatted last week, we were talking about the changing of rules in the Nebraska legislature. Obviously, that was a big debate early in the week last week.
Well, it was, and it gets a little complicated, so I won't get into a lot of the nitty-gritty, but basically what was happening is, when you look at filing motions, you bring a bill and then you can amend it, bring motions to amend the bill. And then there's priority motions, and there's three big priority motions. And by priority motions, they take precedence over any other motions on the floor. And so one of them is to indefinitely postpone. One of them is to bracket. And the other one is to recommit to committee the bill. Those have priority over any amendments. So what happens is, if you file the bill and then someone has filed these priority motions, then that blocks any amendments from being added to that bill, and until you hear the priority motion, and so you can then filibuster and have that, use those priority motions as a filibuster. What was happening here a couple weeks ago was, we literally had 15 bracket motions filed in succession. And when you file a motion like a bracket motion and it's a priority, you immediately stop debate on everything else and you go to that priority motion for debate. So the introducer of the bracket motion would have 10 minutes to introduce the motion. They would then have five. They could speak three times on the mic for 5 minutes, and then they'd have 10 minutes to close. They can waste a lot of time. And generally, what they would do is they would speak on their priority motion, on the bracket motion, speak on it for 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes, and then they would pull the motion, and then they'd have another one filed right behind it. Somebody else would, and they would just stay above. Nobody else could speak in the queue because they would be first to speak, and they'd be speaking on the bracket motion rather than on the bill itself. Plus, they're blocking any amendments from being added to the bill. So it's one of the filibustering techniques, and you ask yourself, why is that happening? Well, it's happening because there are 32 conservative senators in the body, and the concern is that they've got bills, including social issues, that they want to get passed. So if you can filibuster the entire session, you can get closer to running the two-year biennium. And 2 years from now, there are 15 seniors that leave, and there'll be 15 freshmen coming in. And so the hope on the other side is that you get a more friendly group of senators to work with 2 years from now. So that's really the long game of what's going on down there.
And so tell us about the temporary rules that have been adapted for the rest of this session, Senator.
Well, the rule that changed that was made was simply that, as it relates to those three priority motions, they can only be introduced once per day on a particular issue. So you can't do 15 in a row. Now, it can also be gamed from the standpoint that if you're the person that files it, you could literally file it and lift it, and now it's gone. It can't be used again that day. Now, that in itself doesn't stop filibustering, because as we saw last week, even with that rule in place, you could go in and file all kinds of amendments to a bill. So you could file an amendment that says change of the word in paragraph three from the to the or that, and just make a minor word change. Again, you get 10 minutes to open, 5 minutes each time on the mic, 10 minutes to close. The motion gets voted down, so the amendment fails, and then you have another one you file that's very similar to that. And you can do that for 8 hours. Now, you can't block others from speaking in the queue, so you can't. So where a priority motion would allow you to if you filed it and pulled it, people you could stay and block anyone else from speaking. But so that's what was happening last week in order to burn the 8 hours. The frustration I think that several of us have is that the speaker has allowed for the 8 hours of debate for filibustering on general file. That's not in the rule book. It used to be. Now it just says full and fair debate. And so the speaker could change that and basically cut that time back. He's chosen not to do that at this point. And instead, the plan is to go late night. So tonight, for example, will be adjourned by 7 o'clock because there's an event tonight at 7 o'clock. But tomorrow night, we plan to go till 11 o'clock, maybe to 11:59. We can't go past midnight because then we'd be going into the next session day.
Sure.
So the expectation is we'll go late, very, very late tomorrow night. And then Thursday night, or Wednesday night, I think there's an event that we'll have to adjourn earlier for. And then we're off on Friday. But then next week, we'll be into probably late nights every night if indeed we don't stop the filibuster. In other words, at this point, the plan is to go very, very late, get some work done, try to get some things passed. But also expect that you're going to see a number of bills that are going to be Christmas trees, and they're going to be huge Christmas trees. So rather than most Christmas trees, we're going to be restricted bills. We're going to be restricted to five bills pulled together. We could see 10 or 12 bills on one bill to get it to the floor, get it debated, and burn the 8 hours and have a whole bunch of bills on one. So I would expect that will be coming next to be able to make better use of our time, get more bills past the finish line. I do think what we need to remember, the good news about it, is we're going to provide for, again, historic tax cuts above and beyond what we did a year ago, and that will get done because that'll be done with the speaker's major proposal that will cut through the process. So we're going to get some significant tax cuts done this year regardless. And constitutional carry now is on final reading. That should pass. So the expectation is we'll still get some major things done this year. And at some point, those that are blocking the process are going to recognize that their bills aren't going to get passed if they don't get with it.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, Senator Jacobson. We do have some interesting things that were addressed on the legislative floor last week, specifically thinking about Senator Brewer's LB 77, the concealed carry. That's a measure that you are actually a co-sponsor of.
That's correct. And Senator Brewer's brought that. This is the seventh year he's brought it as his priority bill. I think everybody's happy for him that it's finally getting past the finish line. I believe we've got ample votes to get there. We should have Ray Aguilar back sometime this week, we hope.
Oh, good.
And so we'll have a full complement of senators here. And so, I think there are things getting done, even though on the surface it doesn't look like it.
And then you mentioned, too, a little bit of tax reform. That was definitely front and center last week as well with Senator Linehan and the Revenue Committee.
That's correct. Basically, the question was divided, so we basically passed our move forward to select file the income tax cuts. Today we're going to be debating the property tax reductions. Property taxes are going to get reduced two ways, and as everybody says, property taxes are assessed at the local level, not at the state level. So how does the state reduce property taxes? Well, the way we reduce property taxes is we provide more money to public education. And I will tell you that I met with the governor last week and in a briefing and got an outline for all the school districts, public school districts across the state, and the kind of dollars that they're going to receive as a result if this bill passes, which we believe it will. And as it relates to every school district in District 42, every school district will get substantially more revenue from the state than they've gotten in the past. And that'll be out there for 3 years each year they're going to be getting more dollars than they got in the past, and especially those unequalized schools, which is the bulk of the schools in District 42. So with that increase, there will also be a levy limit out there that will limit how much school districts can increase their budget without a supermajority vote or a larger than a 50% majority vote of the voters to end to go break the lid. And I think what that will do should translate into real property tax savings, because the public schools will be taking less in local property taxes because they'll be getting more from the state. And the state will be monitoring what's happening to the levies, and you'll lose the additional state aid if indeed you don't reduce property taxes along the way. So that'll be where we'll get the top line reductions in property taxes. And then we'll also have the income tax rebate will grow larger. And most people, as you noticed this last year, 30% of the property taxes you paid to public schools and your community college were rebated back to you. So that's coming back, and that's not top line. That's a refund, if you will, of some of your property taxes that were paid. And then also, the state is going to begin, in this bill, the state would begin funding the operating expenses for the community colleges. So then that part of the levy would come off of your property tax bill. They would no longer be able to levy for operating expenses. They would only be able to levy to pay for the remaining bonds that are outstanding today, that are on the books today. So all of those things should be real property tax reduction. That's the highest priority for me right now, is getting those property taxes done and reduced. And I've made that very clear on the floor that I'm not going to be prepared to vote for the income tax reductions until we know the property taxes are coming with them.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. And Senator Jacobson, let's talk a little bit about broadband. I think that's an item that maybe is flying under the radar a little bit for some of our District 42 constituents, because let's face it, the rule change was kind of front and center last week, as was a little bit of the tax conversation we just had, and of course the concealed carry conversation as well. But the broadband service office, that's an item that was heavily discussed last week. And where do you stand on this item?
I'm very supportive of it. You know, I think one of the problems we've got is the Public Service Commission has provided the oversight for this. And the problem is the Public Service Commission doesn't meet that often as a board. They've got their staff operating things, but they've got a number of things that they oversee, everything from grain elevators to it's just a whole list of things that are out there. This needs to be a priority. And so the governor had brought the proposal to create a broadband office. There would be an individual would be hired to oversee and coordinate broadband, would report directly to the governor and the Department of Transportation. I believe it's the right idea. In order, there's these BEAD dollars that are coming from the federal government are going to be available for us to use to build out broadband, but there's a limited time frame to get it done. I think the less red tape we've got involved, and the faster we can go mobilize, figure out where the mapping is insufficient, get the mapping finished, be able to go into areas that are underserved and or unserved, and be able to provide them with broadband and do it with federal dollars. And so that's the goal. I've been in business a lot of years, and I understand that when you can eliminate red tape and allow things to move more quickly, it will make a huge difference. And so that's what should happen with this office, and it's got strong support. I expect that to move forward.
Senator Jacobson, what's on the docket for you and your colleagues this coming week in the Nebraska legislature?
Well, that's a good question. This morning, it depends on what we can get done. This morning, we're still going to be working with the property tax credit bill, LB 243, which is Senator Breezy's bill. So we got another 5.5 hours of debate on that today, if indeed the filibuster continues. And then following that would be LB 583, which would be Senator Sanders' bill she brought on behalf of the governor, which would provide foundation aid for special education and supplemental aid to the TEOSA formula, which is huge as well. Our school districts would be getting significantly more special education dollars, and that's part of what I was referring to before. Between the foundation aid and the special education dollars, significant increases in funding to our public schools. And I've been mentioning that all along, but we're going to see a significant additional state aid to our public schools, which should go a long ways towards helping local governments, the public schools, to be able to rely less on property taxes as a result.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Well, I would just tell you that about the time I learned this last year, about the time you think nothing's going to get done, all of a sudden people just wear out and bills just start getting passed. And so I'm waiting for that day to start. It hasn't started yet, but I think we'll see it. We saw a little bit of it last week. But I think when we start going late nights, people are going to finally figure out that it's time to get some things done. And so I'm hoping that happens fairly quickly. But otherwise, we've got a plan in place to continue to kind of move forward and get things done that are going to make a difference for all Nebraskans. And so looking forward to that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the late nights. They've officially started for you and your colleagues. And then Speaker Arch has scheduled, is it a half hour for lunch and an hour for dinner?
Actually, it's, I think we're doing an hour for lunch and a half hour for dinner.
Okay.
And then they've been bringing dinner in. So we actually go down to the cafeteria and grab something to eat there and then go back at it again. So it's a little unprecedented, but, you know, you do what you need to do to get things done.
And the entire atmosphere takes a shift, too, when you get to late in the day like that also. And that's when maybe some of the filibustering will come to a bit more of a conclusion. And like you've said before, too, Senator Jacobson, the filibustering is being done by, I guess, individuals that would identify as more Democrats. And there's 17 Democrats in the legislature, but a variety of those independent and Democrats are getting frustrated with some of the filibustering themselves.
Yeah, I think what you've really got is you've got really three or four that are working together with Senator Kavanaugh to kind of move the filibusters forward. But I can tell you that there are a lot of common sense Democrats that are in the body that are interested in getting bills passed, getting their bills passed, and getting something done. And they're getting nervous that we're going to run out of time. And they also recognize the realities that you've got, you've got the 32 Republicans and conservatives in the body that probably aren't going to feel real good about voting for your bill if you were part of the filibuster. So that pressure is out there as well. So people are thinking about that and recognizing that there's some issues out there that they've got to be aware of. And so that will also help us with some pressure being put on as well. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
And one thing I wanted to address with you a little bit as well this morning, Senator Jacobson, we've talked about in length previously the changes in the Nebraska legislature for this session with Attorney General Hilgers resigning, our former Speaker of the body, and a lot of senators term limiting out. That's provided a bit of a shift, too, in terms of who's going to be chairing the legislature. We've had a new lieutenant governor that I feel has done an exceptional job at the gig, but he was absent a little bit last week, so we saw a lot of people sitting in that chairman's seat that might not have a lot of experience. Senator Dorn, Senator Hansen, taking stabs at it. How do you feel that they've done? Senator Hansen receiving a little bit of criticism, it sounds like, last week from some of your colleagues.
Well, I would tell you that Senator Hansen and Dorn both did spend some time in the chair last year.
Okay.
And so they've got some experience there. I thought they did really a very good job, both of them. And keep in mind that when you're in the chair, the chair is there to basically conduct the business, but you've got the clerk of the legislature, Brandon Metzger, Brandon is there to really rule on the parliamentary issues. And so So you've got people up there that are advising the chair, okay, yep, you need to do this, you need to do that. Then they've got it kind of laid out for them. And if there's an issue that comes up, they just stop and they converse and decide what the right move is and they move on. And so you see that quite a bit. And so those two guys have spent some time there before, and I thought they did a great job. I think Hansen got some criticism on how he was ruling, but, hey, when you're the chair, you're the chair.
Yeah, and I think no matter who's going to be sitting there, you're going to get a little bit of criticism. Senator Williams did a lot of it last year, and I know you and he are really good friends, but there were times where there were motions to overrule some of the decisions he made from the chairman's seat.
Yeah, and I would tell you some of the motions to overrule the chair are kind of designed. In other words, the chair can be advised from a parliamentary standpoint that here's what you should do, so they'll rule a certain way. But then there may already be a plan that there's going to be a motion to overrule the chair, and then you get the chair overruled. And you may see more of that occur as the session goes on, because there may be a need to overrule and get some things done. And so it's not necessarily that the chair made a bad decision. It's that the chair made the decision, the body wanted to overrule that. So it doesn't really speak to their competence. It really speaks more to the mood of the body and what they want to get done.
And some of it's just a procedural matter as well. Like you said, whoever's sitting in that chairman's seat, rather be the speaker, the lieutenant governor, or another one of your colleagues, is under the guidance, if you will, of the clerk.
That's exactly right. And the clerk is also the parliamentarian, and the clerk is going to advise on how the chair likely should rule based upon the rules and based upon precedent that's been set historically. And a big part of what we do isn't necessarily what's in the rule book, but what precedent has been. And that's generally what's always out there to be overruled, is something that we're doing because of precedent rather than because it's written in the rules itself.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time, sir. If there's any of your District 42 constituents that want to get in contact with you during the session, what's the best way for them to do so?
Sure. Give me a call at 402-471-2729 or mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And I get a lot of emails. I try to respond to all the emails in the district, and Joe and Christina get copies of them as well, and they're always available to answer any phone calls. So if you got something on your mind or something you want to share, feel free to give me a call or email me, and we'll certainly get back to you.
Awesome. Senator Jacobson, we appreciate the time as always. Best of luck this week. A happy Holy Week to you and the staff, and a happy Easter Sunday as well. We'll talk to you again this time next week.
Thank you. Looking forward to being home next weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.